Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva. What's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
Close to the bone, sweeter is the meat. Last slice of Virginia ham is the best that you can eat. Don't talk about my baby, she's slender but she's sweet. Close to the bone and sweeter is the meat. Now she'd make a good thermometer if she drank a glass of wine. She's built just like a garter snake, she climbs up like a vine. My friends tell me I'm a fool to love a gal like that. Here's the reason I like them slim instead of big and fat. Cause closest.
It's Thanksgiving week here on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Eric.
And I am Ted. And Eric, you know that this is really the one time a year that you can take a minute and give thanks for all the wonderful things that we have in our lives.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, but given the format that we've chosen to go with here, there's a lot of ridiculous crap that made the social a blast this year.
Yeah, it certainly has been quite a ride. But what Ted is trying to so eloquently say is that since this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, we're more likely to talk about how thankful we are that Roger Goodell is peeing down his leg right now.
Yes.
While it looks like the sequel to Moneyball will be a movie about how the Red Sox screwed Billy Bean into giving them Cepedas and John Lester.
True enough, my friend. And where would the social be if Ray Rice had stayed home last Valentine's Day, or if LeBron had stayed in Miami? Or if Johnny Manziel kept his mouth shut and didn't get photographed doing coke.
We all need to get photographed doing coke.
I know.
But where would we be
if
the ESPN wasn't curious about Michael Sam's showering habits, or John Gruden's less talented sibling got to coach that disaster of a Washington Redskins team?
Oh, man. And you know, though, with that, as with every year and in the balance of the universe, we lost some big names this year.
That we did, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
What with the passing of Robin Williams, of course, James Gardner and David Brenner, the world is way less talented and quite a bit less funny.
It is. And we also lost Tony Gwynn and Oscar Tavares, baseball's past ambassador and its future superstar.
Football lost the likes of Chuck Knoll, Robert Newhouse, and Rob Baronis, one of his great coaches, great stars of the 1970s Cowboys,
correct,
and a kicker that was, by all accounts, out of his freaking mind at the time of his untimely passing.
Oh, yeah, you know what? And broadcasting lost a real legend this year, the passing of Casey Kasem, a death that made the frozen head of Ted Williams seem almost commonplace.
Oh, Casey. Ted, do me a favor. Do you have that Snuggles clip?
Oh, the Casey Kasem temper tantrum.
Yeah, hold on. I need to hear that.
Okay, all right. All right, everybody take a quick listen to this, The Joy of Casey Kasem.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon
at 1,
right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh, fuck. What the hell's going on here? Geez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Geez, I thought we were almost finished. Good. Golly, Miss Molly. Boy, this is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous. Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication.
Here's the snuggle spot.
And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes.
He must have lost
Dear
the Bengals.
Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again.
Here it comes.
From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please.
Stay with me.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out
Get
of a
Don
record that
phone.
Isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week.
I wonder what those pictures
were. It's the last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, dude. You know, Casey, that's just brilliant. I can't. That's just brilliant, Casey, man.
It sure is. Oh, so
now make sure you hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS and our website, ericandted.com.
Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Eric and Ted. And also make sure you look us up on iTunes at just look for Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Oh, man.
Oh, Louis Prima took us in there, Eric. I appreciate it.
Now, Ted.
Yeah.
With this time of year being Thanksgiving week,
mm-hmm.
We're all usually supposed to be thankful for some things.
Oh, sure.
So I
yeah.
think you and I are going to maybe give maybe five things that we're thankful for.
I can definitely, I think some, with all the tongue-in-cheek stuff that we always normally do, yeah. I'm sure that I'll have a couple that...
I'm thankful for you, buddy.
Hey, I'm thankful for the Ice Cream Social.
Absolutely.
I think that we've
cheers.
Done a pretty goddamn good job here so far.
You know, 2,000 on the last one, brother.
Oh, man.
That's a big deal.
let's step back up to the plate and go for another 2,000.
That's right.
Now... One of the things that I'm definitely thankful for, okay, I can't help it. I am absolutely thankful for idiots in the media.
Oh, yes.
All right.
It's our fodder.
It is. And I get the unique pleasure of bringing to you a story from this week.
Regale me.
Now, Nesson.com, New England Sports Network, by the way, has a very brief article, and it was about Chris Sims.
The Chris Sims.
Yeah, the former professional quarterback, Texas product. Chris Sims has a top five quarterback feature, or is featured often.
Everybody's got a top five.
Ours are way better. It's top five guys we want to have a beer with and stuff. Yeah. But one of the things on...
Casey Kasem.
Oh, my God. I would love to.
Yeah. And I'm just dribble down the other
yeah,
side.
Hold on, Snuggles.
Goddamn death dedication.
So Chris Sims is a regular contributor now to Bleacher Report. He's kind of breaking into media, and that's fine. Good for him.
I prefer Deadspin.
I do, too. But Bleacher Report's doing all right.
Isn't that free labor over there, Bleacher Report?
I'm not going to speculate or talk about. Yeah,
I don't know. That's a whole topic on itself.
Yeah, it is. So now Chris Sims is back, and he's spouting nonsense. And this article, let me read you this little brief article here from Nesson, and interrupt me whenever you want to bring something up. The former NFL quarterback and current Bleacher Report analyst joined 98.5, the Sports Hub's Felger and Maserati on Thursday, and he still insisted that Tom Brady is not a top five NFL quarterback.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
We're talking about people playing right now.
Yeah. Guys that are currently right now.
He's
in
not
league.
In his top five.
Not in his top five.
Why?
Well, let me
I'm sure
go.
He gives reasons.
Yeah, actually, one of his first reason is really good. It's because his kids know that Shrek's not real. No.
Okay.
No, okay.
I
so
have
ready?
No witty retort here's, for that.
Here's the quote. Here's the quote. My kids know that Shrek is not real, Sims said. What are we going to say that Tom Brady's the best quarterback in 25 years of his career when he's 50 years old? I mean, the dream has to end at some point. I have the ultimate respect for him. But at this point in his career, for me to say he's in Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck's class... I just cannot say that.
Do you say Andrew Luck?
I did. And you know how much I love Andrew Luck.
Oh, I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan.
I know.
This is year number what for Andrew Luck?
Three.
Yeah, three.
Let me continue the article.
Real quick. Okay, go ahead.
Sims told Felger and Maz that his top five in order consist of Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback in the game.
Right now.
Right next to Tony Flacco.
Tony Flacco's in the one-man list.
Oh, right, of course.
Please. Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, and Peyton Manning. Now again, Rodgers, Luck, Roethlisberger, Wilson, and Manning are better than Tom Brady. But how Sims came to this conclusion is a mystery even after his explanation. And this
What is his explanation? Because I really need to say something.
Okay, well, hold on. Manning's got the greatest quote, again, Manning's got the greatest collection of weapons around him in that the NFL has ever seen, Sims
said. Say that
said.
Again. That the NFL has ever seen is what he said.
Yes.
Okay.
Manning's got the greatest collection of weapons around him the NFL has ever seen.
Okay.
Sims, giving even a better reason to put Brady ahead of Manning rather than just behind him, but I give him a slight edge over Tom right now. Really, more just because Moore is on his shoulders from week to week, and his passing game has to carry the organization. Now,
even though he's got the greatest offensive talent around him the NFL's ever seen.
Who's going to get him the ball? That's what I think he's trying to say. Like, I think that what he's trying to get through here, what his point right here, and what I'm trying to extrapolate from his quotes.
I'm trying not to explode, so I'm letting you continue.
Okay. Now, he's trying to say something to the effect of, if Manning weren't there, like, who's more valuable to his team? I'm guessing. But let me continue on, and then we can just shred this guy, all right? It gets better, the article continues. Sims also said that Luck is better than Brady because he doesn't have a running back. No, I almost can't read this to you.
Go ahead.
Sims also said that Luck is better than Brady because he doesn't have a running back like Jonas Gray as an option.
Are you serious? That's a serious quote.
That's a serious
quote. For all of you who don't know who Gray is,
yes,
congratulations. You're like everybody else up until a week ago.
Now he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But now listen, by the way, 32 career carries, 131 yards and zero touches in his entire career before Sunday.
Yes. So he had one game.
One.
One game because of injuries.
And that makes him.
Yep.
Andrew Luck doesn't have that option.
Yep.
Really?
Against a poor run defense. With a good blocking offensive line. So he had a game. So that means Andrew Luck is a better quarterback.
Because apparently
than Tom Brady because of Gray.
All he has, Andrew
said no
Luck
one ever.
Is he has Ahmad Bradshaw for one.
Bruiser.
And then what about that trade they made with Cleveland last year?
Yeah, Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson.
It's been a so one of
Alabama's,
one,
yeah. One of Alabama's greatest running backs in history.
They're not hurting for running back in Indy.
No, but apparently they would kill to have a Jonas Gray. Now, wait. Here's another quote from him. If Andrew Luck doesn't throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns, they can't win a game, Sim said.
That says something about
and
the
here's
defense.
Here's the quote. He doesn't have Jonas Gray and the offensive line that the New England Patriots do, where they can run for 200
yards. Jonas
Gray,
he mentions Jonas Gray again.
No, well, this is the
one
quote,
game.
This is the quote related to it. So, I don't think anybody bears the weight of an organization on their shoulder week to week more than Andrew Luck. The article closes with this. Statistically, you can make a case to keep Brady out of the top five. He has the most wins in the league, but he has his ups and downs elsewhere. But if Sims is going on season stats alone, then Russell Wilson should be nowhere near the top either.
Sims also said
Brady is more capable of leading the Patriots to a Super Bowl, which is interesting. So why does he believe that Brady is talented enough beats us? It looks as though Sims' reasoning, like Shrek, doesn't exist. Nice way to close the article, but
I don't even know where to start with this. First of all, I really have a problem with the statement. Has the greatest ensemble of offensive talent the NFL has ever seen.
Okay,
so the greatest supporting cast the NFL has ever seen.
All right, give me a team that had better.
All right, well, let's see. How about Joe Montana's 49ers?
Well, I can think of as really John Taylor and Jerry Rice and.
That's all you can think of from the 49ers?
Well, Roger Craig was, he was good for a 3 or 4 years period, and John Rathman was there, and Dwight Clark was there.
All right, how about this? How about Peyton Manning in Indianapolis with Endrin James, a Marshall Faulk, a Reggie Wayne, a Marvin Harrison,
Dallas Clark
in his prime? Mm-hmm. By the way, all of those players in their prime. But yet this team, where you got Demaryius Thomas...
Mm-hmm.
He's a good receiver. He's
great.
Got a good body.
He's awesome.
Fast. He's got good hands. But he's not the best wide receiver in the game. Mm-hmm. He's not even in my top three. Then you got a tight end, Julius Thomas. Again, good body, good build, good speed, good hands. I can rattle off five tight ends that are equal to or better than him. Then you got Wes Welker on the end of his career. He can't even stay in for more than half a game without getting concussed.
He's not even throwing to him.
And when he does throw to him, he only catches the ball half the time.
Yeah.
So tell me again how Peyton Manning is playing with the greatest assembled group of offensive talent the NFL has ever seen.
Okay.
And he has him at number five.
I think what he's
and
trying-
Russell Wilson. What is he? What you know what his list is? His list is his argument for MVP. That's what his list is. That is not a top five quarterback list. That is an MVP list. He's saying Green Bay, number one, Aaron Rodgers. He's number one because you know what? You take Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay, they suck.
Mm-hmm.
They're barely not sucking now. So if you take him off the team, they're done. Indianapolis Colts, that's number two, Andrew Luck. You take him off the team, just like you did Peyton that year, there may be a 2-2-4 win team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to, well, who was number three?
The second best quarterback in the history of the NFL, behind Joe Flacco. Ben Roethlisberger.
Jesus Christ. Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, my God. I'm going to vomit.
Your favorite.
So, again, Steelers aren't that good anyway. So, yes, mm-hmm. if you take Ben Roethlisberger off the Steelers, they're garbage. And then you have Russell Wilson. Now, I like Seattle's system, but their backup's not going to get it done. So if Russell Wilson goes down, their whole game plan goes down, but yet they still have one of the better running backs in the league regardless. Then you got Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning goes down, guess what? I don't know who their backup is, but they probably have a shot of winning some games because they have some good offensive receivers. Like I said, good
sure,
offensive
they beat the Raiders.
Receivers.
You know, they might beat the Chiefs.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you got, that's the end of his list. You got Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, who's constantly over the years been throwing to nobody. Next man up approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aside from when they went and got Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, since they won their first Super Bowl, they've just been getting it done with what they got. They plug in their guys, make them step up, and he utilizes what he has.
Yes.
Yet he's nowhere on this guy's list.
Nowhere on this guy's
list. It's not a top five QB list. It's a argument for MVP. For the people that believe MVP is, if that person isn't on the team, that team fails.
Yeah, and I think that's the actual definition
sure.
of MVP.
Sure.
And you know what?
Sure.
I think your argument is valid. I think it's sound. The thing that strikes me is the amount of, geez, I don't even want to say disrespect. It's kind of one of those interesting little things. Like
it's a tremendous amount of disrespect.
Well, the amount of disrespect that Tom Brady gets from former players is
very bitter.
Yeah.
You can taste the bitterness every time one of those retired, loudmouth, former wide receivers.
If you think yeah. I'm wrong, you listen to Marshall Faulk
yep.
and Kurt Warner yep. on NFL Network on Sunday morning.
Yep.
NFL Network, he will hear those two guys never pick
they're
the Patriots.
They're still bitter 10 years later.
And
13 years
13
later,
years later. And they are the most bitter, angry former players imaginable.
Yep.
But then, you know, remember Tom Jackson. Hey, I heard in the locker room that they hate Bill Belichick.
yeah.
And
sure
how
do.
Did that work
Coach
out for
Belichick.
You?
Coach Belichick.
Coach Belichick. And by the way, it was right after they had gotten rid of Lawyer Malloy, lost to the Bills.
The Bills, 31-0.
And then went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So that's the team that hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Jonas Gray, the apparently Phil Sims dreamback.
Jonas Gray. Wow.
Was sent home.
I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
He was sent home yeah. from practice yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Or 2 days ago.
Yep.
He was sent home from practice
yep.
because he showed up late.
Yep.
And then he goes to Twitter and says, this is what it's like when people turn your back on you. And da-da-da-da-da. Dude, follow the rules. And then we went out and signed LeGarrette Blount.
Yep.
Now, what was Jonas Gray talking about there? Was he talking about that he got sent home from practice? Or was he talking about the fact that they signed LeGarrette Blount?
That is a great question. That is a great question. Now, I'm going to, because I brought this up, one of our listeners, Mr. McCurdy, one of our listeners asked me whether to go with Gray or Blount and why. Now, this is before I heard of the showing up late and being sent home, because mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with a lot. Okay? So I told him, I gave him my opinion. I said, well, Blount, downhill runner. Offensive line is playing real good right now. He hits the holes. He doesn't dance around. He doesn't waste time in the backfield.
Neither did Gray last week.
Yeah. What did I say, Blount?
Yeah.
I meant Gray. I'm talking about Gray. Sorry about that. I'm talking about yep. Gray. Downhill runner. All he does is hit the holes. And if the offensive line plays as good as they did last week, he will continue to have success because that's what he does. He's told where to run, and he runs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good-sized dude, so he's going to succeed. I said Blount is going to fit in perfectly there because he already knows the system. He's going to give spells to Gray.
Yeah.
But count on Gray getting the bulk of the carries and getting the bulk of the yards. Now, you might see goal line
I'm going to give you have some free fantasy football advice and some and a little bit of a I guess a little pregame analysis of the Patriots Lions game for tomorrow. The Lions are very stout against the run.
They're going to get tested though.
They are not. The Patriots are not going to be a running team tomorrow. This is not that you're not going to see the team
in
that
the first quarter. You're not going to see anybody putting up 200 yards, 199
yards. If you have another choice in your fantasy league than having to put a New England back in, don't put a.
First of all, it's never a good idea to start a New England running back.
No, because Bill Belichick hates your fantasy team
always. But I can tell you this: in the first quarter of that game, they are running at Dominic and Sue in that Detroit line. That's what you're going to see in the first quarter.
Well, you'll see that only in the sense that, like, that's what you always.
Test the line. Well, they're going to test the line until they stop them.
The Patriots come into a game with a very clear but very different game plan every week.
Yep.
That's one of the great challenges of playing against the Belichick team. You have to basically throw the dice. Are they going to have Tom Brady go out and beat you? Are they going to try to run the ball? Are they going to pick different receivers? Are they going to play over the middle? There's a million different ways that Bill Belichick likes to play offense. I have like almost a 400-yard day coming for Tom Brady tomorrow. And an 88-yard, maybe one touchdown performance from whoever the running back is.
Right, which is good against a number one ranked defense.
Sure. Well, so, they're not number one ranked, but number one against the run.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. What okay. we were referring to. Right. Yes. This is we're talking about the Patriot way, how Bill Belichick operates.
Mm-hmm.
That was the advice I gave him prior to the knowledge of the SNL.
Yeah.
So now you ask me a question. Was he talking on Twitter about the fact that he got sent home from practice?
Or was he talking
the signing of LeGarrette Blount? Because I didn't think about it that way until you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good question. Hmm. Is that what he's talking about? Because you would think everybody knows Bill Belichick. He doesn't pull any punches. He's not, you know, hot and cold. So bottom line is that you showed up late, you're going to get sent home. So therefore, he shouldn't have been shocked. So I can't imagine that the tweet was about being sent home because he deserved it. And when does anybody go against Bill Belichick or Coach Belichick?
See, and this is where Jonas Gray's tweet the other day, word for word, was, comes again, I happened to be on the NESN website just now, so it's on there right now. Jonas Gray is seeing the good and the bad side of stardom this week, rushing for 201 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Colts last week. Good. Showing up late for practice, bad. Tweeting about people who, quote-unquote, turn their back on you after you're sent home from practice, very bad. It's not clear what Gray was talking about when the running back fired off the tweet vowing to keep it moving and grind harder Friday after the New England Patriots sent him home for showing up late. Gray might have been talking about vindictive Patriots fans, or he might have been talking about Coach Bill Belichick, although the latter seems highly unlikely. Either way, it didn't play out well. And here's Jonas Gray's exact tweet. Example of how fast people can turn their back on you. That's just life, though. Either way, I just keep moving and grind harder. Nothing new.
He's talking about the signing of LeGarrette Blount.
That's what it says.
He finally had a shot, had a breakout game, fantastic game, 4 rushing touchdowns, and then they go and sign another a running back. Which makes sense because you need another running back.
Well, do you think that Bill Belichick sort of knows enough about Jonas Gray to know that he might not be a reliable individual?
Not going to be able to sustain that type of performance? Very well could be. But regardless, it's a no-brainer.
When you see a guy run as strong as he did on Sunday last week, and then you go out and sign a cookie cutter version
of him, yeah.
Of him.
Someone who can run just as hard and bowl over people just as well.
What we saw last year as the season
next
was coming to
man
a close.
Up.
Exactly. Now, I don't think it's funny because if Jonas Gray had any experience with the New England Patriots, which he only has a little bit of, I guess, he would know that Stephen Ridley's out.
Yep.
You know, Shane Vereen's not the every down back.
And guess what? The next time you fumble, guess who's coming in right after you? LeGarrette Blount.
And he's going to stay in the game.
And if you fumble again, guess who's going to come in and you're not coming back in? That's LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
Or you go down with a little tweak or a little injury, or you dog it on the field, or if you're late to a practice or late for a meeting, there's LeGarrette Blount.
See,
it's in your hands,
and
Mr. Gray.
There's a reason that they can call it. And by the way, the Patriots don't necessarily even call it this, but the Patriot way. And we keep bringing that, you know, that thing's been coming up for better part of, you know, 2 decades at this point.
Yep.
The Patriot way is our way or the highway. And it's the simplest possible conclusion.
That's it.
If you are going to do your job, you are going to be employed here.
If you are going to be a disruption, we will use you for our purpose until we no longer have a use for you, and then you're gone.
The greatest receiver in the history of the NFL, in my eyes.
Randy Moss.
And I'm not talking about his brief stint with the Patriots. I'm talking about his body of work. After he was jettisoned here for starting to be a dick, which, you know, remember complaining about the food and the buffet line.
Straight cash, homie.
When he was jettisoned from the Patriots and then went to other teams and started talking about how, this isn't okay.
He was the biggest advocate of how the Patriots run their organization and how badly he wanted to come back.
Yeah.
Called Belichick.
Hey, Tom Brady, throw me the ball, Tom Brady. I'm wide open. He's got the best accent in the world, like part West Virginia, part Mississippi or whatever. It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
But Jonas Gray, just a little bit of a word of advice on this, the most thankful of all holidays. Be thankful that you have a job in the National Football League, and a tentative one at that. Eric and I are going to take a quick break, but one of the things I want to make sure that you do is if you are traveling during this holiday weekend, or this upcoming holiday weekend, that you all take your care on the road, no drinking and driving. Make sure that you get to your place of the place of partying safely and soundly. Take Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social with you. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And hit us up on iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Hang out on the road to Rhode Island.
There's something I've been meaning to tell you. It's not easy for me to say.
Oh, God, you're not coming out of the closet, are you? Oh, God, why does everyone always come out to me?
I just wanted to thank you for everything you did today. I know this whole trip has been a mess.
Well, it hasn't been all bad. I must admit, there have been some moments that were, dare I say, fun.
We're off on the road to Rhode Island. We're having the time of our lives.
Take it, dog.
We're quite a pair of partners, just like Thelma and Louise. Except you're not 6 feet tall.
Yes, and your breasts don't reach your knees.
Give it time.
We're off on the road to Rhode Island. We're certainly going in style.
I'm with an intellectual who craps inside his pants.
How dare you? At least I don't leave urine stains on all the household plants.
Oh, pee jokes.
We've traveled a bit and we found, like a masochist in Newport, we're Rhode Island bound.
Crazy travel conditions, huh?
First class and new class.
Whoa, careful with that joke, it's an antique.
We're off on the road to Rhode Island. We're not gonna stop till we're there.
Maybe for a beer. Whatever dangers we may face, we'll never fear or cry.
That's right, until we're syndicated, Fox will never let us die, please.
We're off on the road to Rhode Island, the home of that old campus swing.
We may pick up some college girls and picnic on the grass.
Mm-hmm, we tell you more, but we would have the senses on our ass.
Yikes.
We certainly do get around.
Like a bunch of renegade pilgrims who were thrown out of Plymouth Colony,
we're Rhode Island bound.
Or like a group of college freshmen who were ejected by Harvard and forced to go to Brown.
We're Rhode Island.
Oh, thank you, Brian and Stewie, for bringing us back to Rhode Island.
Quahog.
Quahog, Rhode Island. I actually had a friend from California who wondered if Quahog was real.
It is real.
It is, in the spirit of all of us.
It definitely is real.
Well, welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I am Eric.
And I'm Ted. And we're going over the games from last week. And funny thing...
There was a lot of unimportant ones, a lot of who gives a shit. But Ted brought up a great point. He said, why don't you take a look at Chris Sims' top five quarterbacks and see how they fared.
Well, I know that Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger won. Yeah, Rodgers won big.
Yeah,
and
that was running away. Was it against the Eagles? Mm-hmm. Yeah, against the Eagles, 53-20.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was that.
Oh, by the way, the Cowboys had the best week, the best bye week in the history of the NFL with all four.
Yeah, everybody losing. Everybody losing.
All losing, yeah.
So what about that number two quarterback, Andrew Luck?
Andrew
Who
Luck,
did he play?
I think Andrew Luck lost to
the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Oh,
in a horrible fashion.
Oh no! They didn't lose to Tom Brady. They lost to Jonas Gray.
Oh yes, they
cut
did.
That
they
out,
lost
man.
To Jonas
cut
Gray. I am so sorry, Tom. Who?
Tom what?
Who? And then number three, Russell Wilson.
How did the Super Bowl champion?
No, they didn't do it. They didn't pull it off, man.
Who'd they play?
They played the Chiefs. The Chiefs, are they for real? Seems like they are.
I love that question.
Yep, they are for real. They lost 24-20. There was a suspect call at the end. They were screaming for pass interference. It wasn't called. Sorry.
Whatever.
Therefore, wasn't a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Game goes to Kansas City.
As I always tell my own football players, it's only a penalty if the flag hits the field.
That's right. And, well, just like a street ball, it's only a penalty if there's blood.
Yep, no blood, no foul.
That's right. And then their number five quarterback, which a lot of people have as their number 1/2, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
How did he do last week against the Rams?
Oh, he must have run roughshod over the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I know we picked them to win. Wow.
This just in.
22-7, the Rams win. Broncos scored one touchdown in the second quarter, and that was all.
Now, this begs the question I need to ask you about this, because we talk about this from time to time, but this is a big issue for me as far as watching football and analyzing the game and all that stuff. Peyton Manning's destroying the league. He comes to New England and basically pees down his leg. Now, I guess, please, before I get the hate mail, he threw for 400 yards. A lot of it was in garbage time. He had a bunch of touchdowns, but again, in garbage time. But when the game counted, Peyton Manning peed down his leg. Did Bill Belichick give the NFL the quote-unquote blueprint on how to beat Peyton Manning?
No, I just think he had an awful game.
Well, the reason why I ask, if you go back to the Patriots-Broncos game from, you know, that Sunday night or Monday night or whatever a couple of weeks ago, the Rob Ninkovich interception, where they sort of baited Peyton Manning into throwing his pass, and Ninkovich happened to be there. I was watching the Rams defense during that game last week.
Which is a very good defense.
It's a very good defense. Probably
matter of fact, they
were Patriots defense.
Yeah, the Rams were actually supposed to be a big deal before Bradford got hurt.
Yeah, they were one of the top five defenses in fantasy analysts
year. This was the year that St. Louis was going to become relevant in the standings.
Mm-hmm. Well, I happened to watch the way that their defense played against Peyton Manning, and frankly, it looked an awful lot like the way that Bill Belichick played against Peyton Manning a couple of weeks earlier. I don't think there's a blueprint to beat anybody in the NFL because there's so much talent.
There's so much change.
But what we're looking at right now, we're watching the Seahawks sort of implode after the Chargers said they created a blueprint on how to beat them. And we're seeing Peyton Manning looking pretty mortal after Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have gotten their hands on their current incarnation of Peyton Manning's offense and basically solved it on that particular night. I think you might be seeing some of those great teams from the last year or two starting to turn. We're seeing the 49ers irrelevant.
They've won the last couple of games. Squeakers, mind you, but they've won the last couple of games, so it's put them back in the race.
We know that, but they're probably not winning the West. We think we have the Cardinals winning the West.
Unless the Cardinals collapse, but right now Seahawks and 49ers are sitting at 6-4.
Okay, but we also think that there's probably no chance that the wild cards are coming out of the West because we have the Cowboys and the Eagles in the East. We have in the Central, we have the...
But the Eagles lost, so...
Yes, the Eagles lost, but does that mean that the Eagles are done? Like, I don't think you can go anywhere with Mark Sanchez.
I mean, they're only half a game above San Fran and Seattle. So to say that they don't have a chance at the wild card, they could.
By the way, real quick, bringing up Mark Sanchez, of course,
he had an awful game.
Today is more
like Mark Sanchez.
He's playing an awful lot like Mark Sanchez today, isn't he? Today's the 22nd of February.
Okay.
November,
Holy
I'm sorry.
Smokes.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a mess.
That was some hell of a drug.
Yeah, of November. Now, care to tell me what happened 2 years ago today in the NFL? This is a very special anniversary in the NFL. I'm going to give you a musical hint, okay? All right. All right, come on. 2 years ago today. Ready? It's the anniversary of the butt fumble, baby.
The butt fumble.
It's the anniversary of the butt fumble. That's right. 2 years ago today, the Patriots were up 14-0 when the ill-advised run by Mark Sanchez,
rear end of his center. Lineman, a center.
Yeah, I think it was his center or his guard, but I think it was a center. Yes, and caused the butt fumble. So I think that it was
the fact that we're still talking about it means it's pop culture now.
It's still it's
pop culture. Lexicon.
He has gone beyond.
Yes,
Mark Sanchez is not necessarily going to lead the Eagles to the promised land. I think we can all pretty much agree on that.
Well, I believe this is the end of the Eagles.
Okay, so with Nick Foles out, that's it.
No, I believe it's the end of the Eagles. They're not going to get it back together. They might win another game or two, but they're done.
Then by if you can extrapolate our earlier conversation to now, that means that Nick Foles is better than Tom Brady.
Absolutely. And Tony Flacco.
Now, you don't think that that Sanchez went to his head coach and said,
together?
Like Cagney and Lacey?
Cagney and Lacey were women, but
I could be Lacey.
You don't think he went to I could be Lacey. You don't think he tried to do that? But
now the Cardinals, they beat our Detroit Lions, Ted.
I think that unfortunately the Lions are going to go on
a two-game skid. Okay, the Lions' D got extremely more difficult as the game went on. Cardinals scored 2 touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yep.
Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, that's
taken away. Yeah.
Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd had a really good game for him at the beginning. Lions got a couple field goals, one in the first, one in the second, but that was it. That was it for the scoring. So not a single point was scored after their field goal in the second quarter. And then it ended at 14-6. Lions kept getting every opportunity to win that game. It was painful.
And I think that that's the...
It looked like the Lions that we've seen every damn year for the last 15 years.
We're going to find out everything we need to know about the Lions in the next couple of weeks because they have the Patriots this week.
Who do you got in that game, Ted?
I think the Patriots win it going away. If it were in Detroit, I could see it being a lot closer. If you go back at the last couple of years, I was actually talking to one of our listeners about this earlier this week, and I said that if you go back and look at the preseason, I know that it's just preseason, whatever.
Just preseason.
But every time that the Patriots end up traveling to Detroit, they get eaten alive. They get eaten alive. So it's the last couple of years.
It's like been a new world out there.
It's been in week 3. So it's been when the starters have been in. And Tom Brady has not been able to get away from Ndamukong Suh. And he's been throwing interceptions. And they can't run the ball. And then when the Patriots' defense is out there, they get shredded. That's one of those things that sticks in my craw a little bit about the Patriots-Lions game this week.
Does any team have a chance to go into Gillette for the rest of the year and win?
Listen, foregoing the every given Sunday kind of thing?
No. Is any team going in there this year to Gillette Stadium and beating them? Nobody is going into Gillette from this point on and beating the Patriots.
The only teams that I think could have a chance at beating the Patriots,
aside from the Dolphins,
in New England, and the only two teams left on their schedule, although there's only 3 games left on their schedule at home. It's Detroit, Miami, and Buffalo.
So you think
Miami?
Miami's the only team that has a prayer.
Well, Detroit's got a prayer.
I don't think so.
Detroit has a prayer. I have New England winning this game. But
you're
is it
running away? You said
they don't
have a chance.
So who do you have?
I have Patriots running away.
Running away with it. You don't think that Detroit has any chance?
No chance.
See, I think that they definitely do. If Detroit comes in there with the right game plan, with the right frame of mind, and just puts all the bullshit of the last week behind them, yes, they can compete, possibly. Well, they'll compete for
all.
Half.
They're all professionals. They're all going to compete. But at the end of the day, Patriots, there's no way they're losing this game.
Fine. The Patriots aren't losing.
They got Gray, and you know what? If he doesn't have his mind right, they got Blount. And you know what? He wants to run. Blount wants to run, and they're going to give him the ball.
Nah,
let the big dog eat.
They're throwing the ball this week.
Absolutely not. I'm telling you, in the first quarter, that's all they're going to do is a heavy dose.
But a game is 4 quarters long.
But they're going in with a game plan of wearing down that line with the run, and then they're going to nail him with the pass the rest of the game.
I have
they're
going to
wear them down.
I have them try, you know, running the ball sporadically early on, and that's fine, whatever. But I
think
it's
a lot more than people expect.
I'm expecting Tom Brady to start to get in there and start to throw the ball around a little bit this week, and he didn't really throw
the
ball
around
that much.
Just going to go and have some fun.
Yeah,
going to go out there,
and then you have. Then they travel to. See, here's the problem with their schedule. They travel to Green Bay, and then they travel to San Diego. Those are long trips,
like,
and that's what brings them home to play against Miami. Then you could probably see where
the only way Miami's winning that game is if they're on moment. If they have momentum,
so are you saying their psychology is so fragile that if they don't have momentum going into it,
then they don't have a prayer.
That sucks.
It does suck.
That sucks. And that's what separates the winners from the losers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And which is why you haven't seen the Dolphins in a good position in the playoffs other than the year Tom Brady broke his leg to do something. And I've come to grips with that. But
how?
If they go...
How? How do you come to grips with that?
Dude, it took me 15 years, but I'm there.
But then you've quit. Then you've surrendered.
No, 16 years, sorry.
So you've surrendered then. You've basically just said, like, oh,
I've
yeah.
said, okay, I know what you are. And until you show me different, I can't get worked up about it anymore. I know what you are.
What do you mean worked up? We've had shows where you've lost your mind.
Yeah, well, and then once again, they show me their capability.
Mm-hmm.
They show me what they can do. And then they take a big steaming Cleveland steam out of my mouth.
That imagery.
And then in my ear hole.
As I'm looking at you and you give me that imagery, mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to do the rest of the show.
But
with
if the
my
Dolphins go out there and travel to Denver this week and make that a game, they don't have to win. But if they make that a game in Denver, I will have a lot more confidence of the Dolphins being able to go to Gillette and compete up there.
Who do you see hosting the AFC Championship game this year?
New England.
All right. Do you think that any of the playoff teams potentially that could come to New England? Give the Colts, the Broncos, do you think any of them can come into New England and win?
The only team that I could think would have a shot is the Indianapolis Colts.
Because they have a quarterback so much better than Tom Brady, right?
No, but they have a quarterback that is consistent and hasn't proven himself to be a poor weather quarterback.
Actually,
because he hasn't been around long enough.
One of the things that he's proven is that he doesn't know the game quite as well as you think.
Of course not. He's still young. It's his third year.
I gave him too much credit. I gave him too much credit, Andrew Luck, too much credit for his cerebral approach to the game. Obviously, he can make all the throws. He's fast. He can get down the field. But one of the things that's happened recently is it was a little like one of those mic'd up segments. He came over to the sidelines, and he had just thrown an interception. He said, oh, that was the free safety, right? And the reality was that it was a strong safety. Now, that might not sound like a very big deal to just a common, everyday, run-of-the-mill fan, but not knowing the difference between the strong safety and the free safety is catastrophic. For a
maybe he just misspoke.
He seems to consistently not know where people are on defense. So I'm giving him all this credit.
Well,
being,
what I'm saying
having a cerebral
is really,
approach.
But really, my point of saying why he's the only one is more of his ignorance.
What?
His ignorance?
Yeah. But I gave him all the credit in the world for having the cerebral approach to the game.
Right.
That he
no,
just doesn't
I
have
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that the only reason I think that they're the only team that have a shot of going in there and beating it is because of his ignorance.
Please.
Because of his ignorance.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Elaborate on that for me, please. Because he's not smart right now is
why
they
can win.
You
know how when some people can... I didn't say smart, I say ignorance. Smart and ignorant, two very different things.
Okay, so...
He's ignorant to the...
Then you're leaning on naive.
No, ignorant. But you want to call it whatever you want. Bottom line is he doesn't know enough like Peyton Manning knows...
About what?
Or Ben Roethlisberger knows what it's like to play in Gillette Stadium for the AFC Championship game in those conditions.
He doesn't know the difference between the free safety and the strong safety.
I'm not talking about that. These are two different points.
So, are you talking about the mystique of Gillette Stadium in the playoffs?
Just the ignorance of not being in that position before. That's the only reason I would give him a shot of winning that game. It's not a very hard concept.
You're clearly not explaining it well enough
there's
for
no
me.
There's no need to explain it even anymore.
What are you talking about? There's easy. No need to explain
I've
it.
I've explained as much as I can.
So then,
his ignorance on it going into the situation. He's not smart enough to know that he should
then
be
he's
quite
naive.
Weary.
Then he's naive.
I told you to use whatever word you want. I don't understand what your problem with the statement is. Very simple statement.
Stated a little wrong, but
fine. For you. I don't care. My statement's my statement.
Okay, so you think that the fact that he doesn't know what it's like to play in the playoff game there
is
going
to
help him?
The only reason that could it give him a chance to win because he's too ignorant to the fact of otherwise. Peyton Manning knows what
that's
it's
asinine.
Like going in it. That's okay.
That's
whatever
crazy.
You say.
Really, that's his reason. That's why he.
That's my fucking opinion. To know
and
to lose.
What?
He's
too stupid to know to lose?
That he's supposed to lose, just like anybody other team. If Denver goes up to New England, they're supposed to lose. They're not supposed to be able to play in that weather, especially with Peyton Manning. I think he's too dumb to know that he's not supposed to win in Gillette in December in a playoff game.
Okay, great.
That's
awesome analysis right there. That is Chris Sims level intelligence.
Thank you, sir.
Displayed
Thank
by you,
sir.
Chris Sims level analysis right there. Nice work. So are you ready to talk about the rest of the games, Eric?
Browns and Falcons. They let us down last week.
The Browns and Falcons did let us down last week.
No, the Browns are playing the Falcons. The Browns let us down.
No, the Falcons let us down, too, because we had them losing and they won.
Screw them.
Yeah, I can't. Like, I'm just so tired.
They're awful, just like Carolina. We really didn't care who won that game.
No, that's one of those ones I hoped for a water main to break in the middle of the stadium just to make it more interesting.
Or I'd get 6 feet of snow to just stop the game.
Yeah, dude, 7 feet of snow expected by total.
So they're playing it Monday at 7 o'clock.
In Detroit. Which is, you know,
And by the way, they're giving the tickets away for free and they still don't think they can fill it up.
And the did you know about the snow removal offer that was made?
I heard about it. I started reading it, and I just stopped.
Well, the offer was at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Free tickets and $10 an hour if you came down. So they were actually going to pay you. Like, and you want to think that, like, had they made that offer to fans of, say, the Packers, do you know how many people would have been standing there with shovels for free? You don't even have to pay us.
Or
you just want
Patriots.
To stand on the field.
Or the Patriots. Those games are sold out every time.
Yeah.
If all it took was a bunch of guys grabbing some shovels and get $10 an hour and free tickets...
But why does
they'd have to get a whole separate area for parking for the people to show up for it?
Like, I realize that there's a lot of I realized that there was a lot of snow and they were sort of overwhelmed by the amount of snow. And I get that. And it was a surprise. And Ralph Wilson Stadium got buried into like over 3 feet of snow, 4 feet of snow.
Oh, no, yeah.
Why is this the first time I've ever heard of them having to have like hire people off of the street to come in and do snow removal?
Like, but has the stadium ever gotten that many feet of snow in such a short amount
of
time?
No, I hear you, but like, it's
so
one of those
never
things
had
that like
deal with it.
Yeah, they've never had to deal with it, but do you
maybe
have
the
a,
union workers are getting 25 to shovel and they figured they save some money?
And that's then that makes it patently illegal if you're not hiring.
Hey, band of unions, well, you will be fined buried underneath Ralph Stadium,
Ralph Wilson Stadium. that's
right
why they call
Hoffa.
It Coffin Corner. So, Eric, the games last week.
So what do you got?
What's that?
Browns and Falcons, man.
This week?
Browns reeling off a loss last week.
I don't think the Browns drop two straight here.
Right.
I think the Browns go in and win.
So they go and win, stay on pace, and hit up at 7-4 then.
That central division or whatever in the AFC is becoming one of the most fun divisions in football to watch
because
of the Browns.
Yep, absolutely.
I had no idea how much happier I would be about football.
It's
with the
like
Browns being
just
successful.
Like the Raiders, man. We say
The
football
NFL
is
better when the Raiders are good.
Yep, and that applies for the Browns.
I didn't know, though, but that's the thing. You know about the Raiders.
You didn't expect it.
Yeah, you know that the NFL is better if the Raiders are good. You know that the NFL is better if the Cowboys are good or if, you know, there are teams that, like, the NFL needs.
Yep.
And the Browns?
Yeah, apparently.
Who needs the Browns?
Apparently we all do.
It turns out you're right.
We need a little brown for Christmas.
We all need the Browns. Oh, my God.
So you got the Browns. Social.
Oh, you're picking the Browns too,
huh?
Of
course.
All right.
Titans traveling to the Eagles.
Titans and Eagles.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. The Titans really showed up last week. And
they did.
They ended up losing a squeaker.
They did lose a squeaker.
But... I think the Eagles may rebound.
Did the Eagles get it back together? Eagles
against the Titans,
together?
They do. Yeah, against
Dude,
the Titans.
What's
they
the over/under on how many times the refs stop the game?
Two.
I hope they do it 10 times. I think they're going too fast.
Yeah, we've had that conversation before, didn't we?
So you got the Eagles.
Yeah,
as do
the Puerto Rican Minute complained about that. As by the way, he got on. Yeah, it was too
long.
That.
He's
like, you argued about that too long. Yeah. No, it's just because we too like long. To argue.
That's it.
Yeah,
we can't stop ourselves.
Yeah, like we just like we look at each other and just see yeah. that loathsome look at the other
like,
ones.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Like, oh my god! I want to beat that.
So
man.
you got the Eagles as well.
Yep.
Social. Lions traveling to the Patriots. I believe we both expressed our feelings on that game.
I think we did. I think we're good with that.
Yeah. Social with the Pats.
Yeah.
What else do we got coming up? Now we got the Packers visiting the Vikings. Old school rivalry. Packers coming off a big win.
The Packers are going to win this thing by 50.
It's going to be another one of the Aaron Rodgers show. He's out by the third quarter.
And then you have the, and then interestingly enough with that, you have the Patriots at Green Bay next week. And that right there is a massive game. Massive game.
Packers lose that one too, man. That's why the Packers need this game. They can't afford to flub this game.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I can get
Jaguars visit the Colts. One win team. Reeling Colts. Just
Colts.
Got their asses handed to them by the Patriots.
Yeah, but the Colts have character.
In home.
Colts have character. Colts witness. That's
all right.
A social.
This is too many socials for my liking, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
We've agreed on everything.
So far.
Bengals and Texans.
Texans. Ryan Mallett wins again.
Oof. Wow. Yeah, that's a tough pick.
It is a tough game.
I have no faith in the Bengals right now.
No, I just, that's
they're
it.
Still, they're at 6-3, but I have no faith in them.
The lost Weasley brother is not going to win the game.
Peter's not going to be happy with me. Speaking of Peter,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about, an epidemic going across this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's called trade rape. Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately.
I wish I had some Sarah McLachlan music to play behind and showed sad eyes.
He's in the arms of the angel. He did get trade raped.
Okay, talk to me.
Well, see, he was in need of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, Big Ben putting up some big numbers.
Big numbers.
So I had him on my bench. I said, you know what, Peter? You can have Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
But I need a little something in return.
Mm.
I need an extra running back.
Yeah.
So I got Denard Robinson.
I saw this.
But see, he needed a running back too when he had an extra wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent him Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a man by the name of Chris Evans.
Mm.
46 points last week.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So, and Denard Robinson was on a bye this week. I got 46 from Evans.
Eric
and
is talking about
Ben
the most,
Roethlisberger.
Most boring thing on the planet.
Your fantasy team. And Ben Roethlisberger, not too good.
Mm.
Not too good. So Pete's feeling really low. So Pete, I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry.
Hey Pete, if you win and I lose, you might even sneak into the playoffs.
And that
week.
Was by design. That's what he wanted. He wanted to get over that hump. Didn't work.
He got humped
in the
process.
But he helped me out quite a bit. Denard Robinson's going to come in handy for me on this playoff push.
He just might.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, Pete, thank you, but I'm not picking your Bengals.
Mm.
Another social. We're going with the Texans.
Yep.
Next up, Buccaneers coming off a huge win.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the Bears coming off a bad loss.
Another bad week for the Bears. Coming mm-hmm. up right now. And
actually, I'm sorry. They won last week.
Yeah.
They had a bad loss a week before.
Yeah.
They beat the Vikings. Who gives a crap? But they're sitting at 4-6.
I got to tell you, I got the Bucks coming in.
I got the Bucks coming in, too.
Yeah.
I got
the Bucks shock in the world.
Absolutely. Wow, man.
Hey, this isn't okay.
You agree too much. We're going to have to fist fight at the end of this just to balance it out.
I can't wait.
This is the big game.
You're lazy.
This is the big game. This is the big game of the NFC.
Talk to me.
It's going to say a lot about a lot.
And the Seahawks are going to win it.
Cardinals
mm-hmm.
visiting the Seahawks. 9-1. No Palmer. Going into the Seahawks. Coming off a loss. 6-4.
Seahawks by 10.
I got the Seahawks too, man.
Seahawks by 10.
I can get behind that. I mean, it's going to be an entertaining game, but I got the Seahawks winning that one.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Rams visiting the Chargers.
Rams.
Really?
They're going in and they're going to beat the Chargers at home.
I don't know. Phillip Rivers has been gutsy. They keep saying what rib injury. He's probably got 10 broken ones, but he's still playing.
Well, you know what? Jeff Fisher is going in there, and he's taking it. I got the Rams.
All right, this is fine. This will be the first one
we differ
on.
All right, my surprise of the week.
Yep. Well, it's not too much of a surprise. Yeah, team sucks.
Yeah.
But we'll differ on this one. And then you got the Redskins going to 49ers. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to pick the Redskins to win because I hate the 49ers.
I'm going to take the 49ers because I'm a realist and because I hate the Redskins. But I got the 49ers winning this one. Okay. I think the Redskins slide
continues.
I think
DeSean Jackson has a huge game.
I think he very well may, yeah. But it's going to be in spite of his team losing again.
Now this is the pivotal game.
The pivotal game, sort of.
For me.
For you.
For me. For me and my team. We got the Miami Dolphins visiting the Broncos.
Yep.
Broncos, again, coming off a loss to a bad offensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins, whose offense is just clicking and still has a top-ranked defense, top five.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's coming out of that game, Ted?
This is so difficult. This is like my tough pick of the week.
Is it really?
Yeah, it really is.
There's no need to posture to save my feelings.
When have I ever saved your feelings?
Never.
No, I think that the Dolphins have the ability to beat. This isn't another any given Sunday kind of thing. This is like, I think legitimately the Dolphins can win this football game.
Okay.
Will the Dolphins win this football
game?
Will
they? Will we?
No.
Nope. You're going with the Broncos?
And I got the Broncos 38-24. Which sounds like a big win.
Do we get a garbage time touchdown? Is that what you're talking about? Dolphins make it somewhat close?
No, I think maybe.
Will they pull away?
I think that the Dolphins are close for 2.5 quarters, and then the Broncos pull away. Right. That's why I see it like.
I can't allow myself to pick the Broncos, sir.
Okay.
I got to have faith in my team on this one, because if we beat them, it's going to be a huge boost for us.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, so Eric's going with the Dolphins. We almost did it to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to talk about it. Okay. So I got the Dolphins, you got the Broncos.
Sure.
Now we got another rivalry, but this year kind of doesn't really mean much.
Talk to me.
Cowboys and Giants.
It sort of does mean a lot.
It sort of doesn't mean anything with the Giants playing the way they are.
What's the Giants'
Five
record?
Five interceptions.
What's the Giants'
week?
Record?
3-7.
Now, if the Giants could try to put together a run.
They'd have to win out.
Yeah. They would have to win out, sure. But who would
happening.
The Giants like to spoil more than the Cowboys' playoff chances?
Of course, but it doesn't mean they have the talent or the ability to do so, and I don't think they do.
I don't either, but you never can count out Eli.
I watched the entire game last week.
I did too.
That team has nothing left. They were given chance after chance after chance after chance. Five interceptions.
And they were still
and
there.
And he still could have won the game for him at the end.
Correct.
Five interceptions, still could have won the game.
His fifth one at the end.
I can't pick the Giants.
Well, I can't either in this case, too, because I'm going to have to go with the Cowboys. But the Giants can beat the Cowboys. They can. And
on any given Sunday, but not this Sunday. All right, Jets going to the Bills. I got the Jets beating the Bills.
That's so tough, man. I got to go with the Bills on this one. I just have no faith in the Jets. Although,
well, neither do I.
They've kind of turned the corner with their starting quarterback. They never should have put Geno Smith in.
Nope, never. We talked about it. I think it was, what was it, week three?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there when they put Vic in after he was so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then our following show, before the games happened, I talked about, well, now that Vic, you know, Vic said he had a bad game, he wasn't prepared, he'd be better the next game.
Sure.
I was fully anticipating Vic to be the starter.
No,
and
see.
And much to my dismay, Jay put Geno right back out there.
I think that, you know, in that same point, like if Vic wasn't ready, if Vic comes out and says, sorry, I wasn't ready, then he's still clearly not ready to be the starting quarterback of an NFL football team.
He didn't prepare properly because he got put halfway through the game. So in that role, he was still a backup. So he was being honest, I wasn't prepared as a backup at the time.
As a backup, particularly to a guy like Geno Smith, don't you think it would behoove
absolutely.
You to be ready? That's why I didn't think that he would end up going back in
I
as a starter.
So. Geno's so awful, I figured they had no other choice.
But they shouldn't have even drafted that clown in the first place.
Well, that's neither here nor there. Everybody knows that. But there you
except go. For the Jets brass,
there you go.
Apparently.
So I got Jets beating them. You don't. You have the Bills.
I had the Bills this week.
Okay, that's all right. You're entitled to your opinion.
And you're entitled to be wrong.
However wrong it is.
Yeah, you're entitled to be wrong.
Sure. All right, so we got the Ravens visiting the Saints. Saints are awful.
Saints won.
No, they did not.
Saints won last week, right?
I don't believe so. They're sitting at 4-6.
Who'd they play last week?
Last week, the Saints. got beat by the Bengals.
Oh, that's right.
By
at
more
home,
than two
at
touchdowns.
Home. Yeah, it was the first home loss they've had in a while.
Remember that Saints fan that elbowed that Bengals?
Yeah,
that
nice.
Bengals
that was
woman.
That was really sweet.
Yeah,
nice job, Saints
ball.
Fan. Yeah, nice job, Saints
awesome
fan. Yeah, you know, it's tough, man.
It's not tough for me. I got the Ravens.
Yeah,
and
the
Tony
Ravens
Flacco
are, the,
killing it.
Tony Flacco, greatest quarterback not named Joe Flacco.
So you going with the Saints then?
Nah, it's tough, man.
Yeah,
as I said,
the Ravens. You know the Ravens are going to win. You can't stop Flacco.
You know what?
You can only hope to contain
this week. Flacco stopped. I'm going Saints.
Ooh,
yeah, I'll take the
now
Saints.
I got to scratch this.
Yeah, scratch up. Yeah, scratch, rub it out. Yeah. Rub it out.
All right, going with the Saints at home. So now they're going to lose two home games in a row. And finally, we got the Chiefs visiting. Oh, wait, no, that was an already done game.
That was an already done
yeah,
game.
Yeah, Raiders beat the Chiefs. How'd you like that?
That was actually really a heck of a lot of fun.
That was frankly. A nice, that was a good game
that
for Oakland fans.
It genuinely was. And it was funny to see on like Facebook, like just exploded with Oakland fans so happy. Like, can you imagine liking a team that sucks so tragically bad? Oh, wait. That's right. You're a Dolphins fan.
Yes, I do.
So.
Thanks, Ted.
And thank you, Eric. And thanks, everybody, for listening to it. We mostly give thanks this year for our increased listenership.
What are your, what are your thanks, Ted?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm thankful to Coach Simone for getting me back into coaching again.
Okay.
I'm really happy to be back a part of a football team again.
Great.
Obviously thankful for my lovely children and my awesome Mrs. Coach wife.
Yes.
She's got a hilarious website, crosshousemom.com. You should check it out. There's really funny stuff about my kids, frankly, and I try to stay off of it. I am most thankful as well for the Ice Cream Social. This is a nice opportunity to have fights with Eric that other people can hear. And, rather than just...
It needs to be heard.
Yeah, and just that. And I'm thankful for all the people that have kind of jumped on board and become socialites with us.
Ha!
Genuinely,
socialites!
They genuinely appreciate it, everybody, so thanks very much.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. I like that list.
So what are you thankful for, my friend?
What am I thankful for? Well, I guess I can say I'm thankful for my job. I enjoy what I do, working in the marble and granite business. It's quite interesting. Got to be thankful for the social and this outlet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thankful for my co-host, as much of a pain in the ass as he is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm thankful.
That's so weird. I had that written down in my notes.
I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. You know, we lost a loved one this year.
Mm-hmm.
But in losing a loved one, we got another one back in the fold that we hadn't talked to in quite some time. So we're quite happy about that. There's always a silver lining in these family tragedies. Hopefully you can only take something good away from it. And that happened. So that's good. I'm thankful for my friends and my two cats.
And with that, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
On Facebook at facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And search us up on iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. You guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony, was the place we'd meet. Second seat, gold Dutch treat, you were sweet. Dark as shame.